地域の投票に不正があった。汚れた投票だった。そして今まさにカリフォルニアで起きている。
あなたは一度も証拠を提示していない。
5日経ってもまだ
結果が出てない。そうやって数えるんです。
馬鹿げてる。
奴らはクソってる。お前と同じようにな。ミートザプレスもクソってる。
私はクソっていない。
お前はクソってるかバカか、そのどちらかだ。
もう終わりにしよう。十分時間は与えた。ありがとうお嬢さん。
お願いします。ウィスコンシンからわるわる来たんです。
十分過ぎつな報道機関がある限り、この国が偉大になることは決してない。
Another absolute masterpiece by PsyOp Anime. PsyOp Anime does it again. You really make Trump look cool. As I say, I don't actually know if PsyOp Anime is a girl or not. Incredible stuff. News would be a lot easier to bear if it was all cool anime like that. But yeah, obviously Trump walked out of this Meet the Press interview when challenged over, as they put it, false claim from Washington Post. When pressed by host Kristen Welker, the president cited no evidence for claims about January 6th and elections were said to be rigged. And again, why does he believe it if he can't explain it? I believe that the election in 2020 was stolen, and I can explain. I can explain it in detail. I can explain it in a way that is just, unimpeachable logically, and you can get into the details and explain the actual instances of fraud that were well known, reported on, but never actually investigated. You can go through the timeline of how these things were covered up. We have the firsthand eyewitness testimony of people like the DA in Pennsylvania who was investigating the voter fraud when Bill Barr swooped in and said, don't worry, we're handling this, you don't investigate it. And then it didn't go anywhere. Like, you could go through not just the way it was carried out, but the way it was covered up. I mean, you could go bit by bit, but really all you need to say is mail-in ballots cannot be verified. They can't be. There's no way to verify a mail-in ballot. It's impossible. You can try, you can maybe get okay at it, but there's absolutely no possible way to guarantee that the person who put the vote in the envelope and put it in the mailbox is the person on the envelope. There's no way to guarantee that these ballots aren't stolen or thrown away if they, don't vote for the right person. You do not have a chain of custody. You cannot guarantee the votes are who they say they are. No election that has a sizable number of mail-in ballots, or that mail-in ballots exist as an elective possibility rather than, an out-of-state, solution for a problem that is minimal and extraordinary circumstances. When you have mail-in ballots as a just equal part of the election, it is an invalid election on the face of it, because the technology does not exist to accurately tell who is voting for what. He can't express that. He can't lay that out there. He can't ask them, how do you confirm a mail-in ballot is who it says it is? They have no answer. There's no way to do it. Oh, well, we checked the signature. Okay, but the signature doesn't match half the time. Or we can find somebody's signature pretty damn easily. But that also doesn't explain what happens if the ballots get thrown away, or the innumerable examples we have of ballots being thrown away, being found in dumpsters, or being, discovered in boxes long after the election. The whole thing is absurd. And I agree with Trump, but he doesn't do it any justice. He doesn't actually explain why he believes what he believes. And so it allows them to write headlines like that. And the only conclusion you can come to if you're not pro-Trump is, he doesn't have any reason to believe it. He's just saying it's fake. He has no reason to say that. And if he did, he would explain it, but he doesn't, so he walks off and huffs like a baby. So all he's done is actually confirm the suspicion of those people that there's no reason why they think it's fraud. They just say that because they don't like losing. It's like, dude, you can't explain something for one.
This is an emergency transmission from FEMA Region 6 in occupied North America.
There is a war. It's happening now. It will decide the fate of humanity. The time has come to choose sides. If you are receiving this transmission, You are the resistance. Share the links now at alexjoneslive.com.
Alex Jones is back. The InfoWar continues at alexjoneslive.com. And you can follow us on X at Real Alex Jones and on Rumble at The Alex Jones Show Live. Plus, you can download the app, alexjonesapp.com. So check it out now and let the deep state globalists know we will never be silenced.
All right, welcome back, folks. This is War Room Live. Hope you're following us on X. I'm at Harrison H. Smith. Watching us on Rumble. You can find us at rumble.com/The War Room Live. rumble.com/The War Room Live. That's how you find the official broadcast, and we upload all of the shows there. I know a lot of people, you know, we have a lot of listeners that tune in every day, but I've found that ever since moving away from American Journal, like, I don't know, but apparently 3 o'clock, people are working a lot and they don't like to watch it live, but you can always watch the full episode. It always, you know, rebroadcast on that Rumble stream. You can also always find it at alexjoneslive.com. As soon as this show's over, it loops back again and plays for 24 hours until we do the next show. So you should be able to find it live there, or, you know, watch it at your leisure. Of course, with the Rumble app, you can minimize it. Here's a little trick for the Rumble app, in case you don't know, because I use the Rumble app all the time. It's how I listen back to my show to learn what I said, because I forget as soon as the show's over. If you go to Rumble and you follow, then it'll be up at the top every time we go live. So you just open your Rumble homepage and you go right up to the top. Yeah, hit that follow button for sure, so that you're following us, and then it appears at the top and you hit that button. And then what you need to do is minimize it so it goes into the little box. Like if you're using an iPhone, you swipe up from the bottom, because if you just turn your phone off, then it will go silent. But if you minimize it first and then turn your phone off, the audio continues. So you can actually, you know, listen to it while you're going around doing stuff or driving or whatever. You don't have to have your screen on. You don't have to be, well, I don't know. I imagine it's not downloading the video. I imagine you're using less bandwidth. I don't know if that's actually true, but I do know that I often pull up the show on Rumble, hit play, then I minimize it, turn off the screen, and just listen to it like a podcast. That's a very easy way to do it. No excuses. I always hear people, I don't know where to find your show. It's right there. The War Room Live, rumble.com/The War Room Live. So Trump had there were two headlines out of the interview he did with Kristen Welker. The first was that he walked off because she challenged his claim about voter fraud. Now, I saw a comment that had a good response to this, which is that if it's a Democrat alleging voter fraud, then the media landscape, the MSM out there, investigates those claims. They actually do their job. They actually perform journalism, and they go to see if these claims have any merit. If it's Republicans who claim it, they just write it off without doing any research and then demand that you present evidence. Do you see the difference? If you make a claim that affects Democrats, they go find the evidence. If you are a Republican, they demand that you come with the evidence already supplied. They're the ones who are supposed to find it. They're the ones who are supposed to investigate it. They don't investigate it and then say, we have no evidence. It's actually pretty broad. It's actually the entire argument as to why the 2020 election was not fraudulent, is they say basically we didn't investigate, so there's no proof. We didn't look into it, so therefore it didn't happen. That's literally that's what the claim is, because they say basically you don't have any evidence. But we do have plenty of evidence, but they say, but that doesn't count because it wasn't in a courtroom, it wasn't in a trial, it wasn't in the New York Times, so how could it be real? Okay, so we have the evidence. The mainstream media won't talk about it. The mainstream media won't investigate it. The mainstream media won't falsify or verify the claims that are made. The powers that be deliberately shut down investigations into this by claiming to be handling it at the national level, and then it never gets handled at the national level. When court cases are brought, judges throw it out without even looking at the evidence on the basis of standing or whatever other excuse that they can throw out there because they always have one. Judges can kind of do whatever they want and justify it however they want. So then they go, well, no evidence. They do not investigate. They stop you from presenting evidence, and then they use the lack of evidence as proof that it doesn't exist. That's very annoying, but it's easy to get around if you have the knowledge in your mind. If you can actually explain how it's done, or even, like I did, explain the basic physical reality behind mail-in ballots and the impossibility of ever guaranteeing they are who they say they are. Or, you know, again, I'm the only person I've ever heard talk about the Detroit leaks. What do I have to do to get other people to find out about the Detroit leaks? I've played them on this show like 100 times. I've never heard anybody bring them up. They are absolute dead to rights proof that the 2020 election was stolen, and nobody talks about it. It's crazy. I'm not going to play them here again because I've played them so many damn times already. You just go look it up. Go find it yourself because I don't know what I can do. But literally in the Detroit training for the vote counters, they are training them how to avoid oversight. They are training them to use mail-in ballots, even if the person is there in person, face-to-face, saying, I did not send in a mail-in ballot. The vote counters were instructed, give that person a provisional ballot, have them fill out the provisional ballot, say thank you for voting today, sir, and then throw that provisional ballot in the trash and use the envelope that arrived a week earlier that he said he never sent. They literally trained the people to use mail-in ballots, even if the person was there in person with their ID, confirming their identification, saying, I never sent in a mail-in ballot. The people were trained to ignore that and count the mail-in ballot that had their name on it. It's on audio. It's explicit. Nobody's done anything about it ever. Like, if I was asked for one rock-solid dead-to-rights proof that the election was stolen, it's that. It's that they were literally trained how to do it, and we have the audio of them being trained how to do it. And I've played it on the show a million times. I don't know if Trump's ever heard of that, but it might be something to bring up next time they ask you for proof that the election is stolen. You might want to have like one or two examples on hand to explain. It's not complicated. And here you are with a chance to make the case to the American people. Here you are in a national interview knowing that you're going to be asked about this, knowing this is one of the biggest stories in the country right now with what's happening with Spencer Pratt, where the Democrats in LA are flagrantly stealing the election in front of everybody. The woman who has now overtaken Spencer Pratt dropped out of the race last week because it was mathematically impossible for her to win. Now she's in second place. Mathematically impossible. Story at alexjoneslive.com. Questions are piling up fast as Pratt suddenly loses second place in LA mayoral vote. Okay, so that's very frustrating. It's very frustrating that Trump never once has bothered to explain voter fraud. Again, like it, you know, what he's, because it's not like he just avoided the topic. That would be something. If he just avoided the topic outright, then you could watch that interview and not come to a conclusion one way or another. Instead, by getting up and storming out when asked very simply to provide any example of voter fraud, for which, again, there are dozens. People have been arrested and sent to jail. There have been federal cases about voter fraud, specifically with mail-in ballots. There was a woman like yesterday. They got convicted for it. He can't bring that up. He doesn't know about that. He can't throw that back in their face. So they ask him, you say it's stolen. Why? Why do you think that's stolen? He goes, I don't have to talk to you anymore. You're crooked, and gets up and leaves. All that does is reinforce the lefty view that he doesn't have a reason to believe it, which must mean we don't have a reason to believe it, which must mean that Trump is just lying to us baselessly and we're believing him because we're idiots. And really all that's happening is we're losing elections and mad that we're losing elections and lying about it to try to scheme our way back into power. That's the outcome of the way Trump behaved. That's the conclusion people watching are going to come to if they don't already know that the elections have been stolen. Yeah, the yellow line on screen is Pratt. And again, the numbers, the problems with this are overwhelming. And again, you can just point to a few of them. I mean, just that one image alone of the, I mean, it's the same thing that's happening. It's the same. And that, like, again, this is the frustration, is like, here's this extremely important thing. Here's something that Trump himself made a cornerstone of his entire campaign in 2024. Fixing the voter fraud, fixing the mail-in ballot crap. This is like an existential problem for America. Here's Trump with a perfect chance to not only explain how the 2020 election was stolen, but use as an example a race that is currently being stolen as we speak, and that they're using exactly the same strategy on both of those. So he's given this opportunity to say, do you want to know how it was stolen? Look at these graphs. 100,000 votes for Biden, not a single one for Trump. That is a fraudulent tranche of documents. That is statistically impossible. It cannot happen. And guess what? It's happening again in LA with Spencer Pratt and his socialist opponent, who is receiving tranches of thousands of votes without a single one for Spencer Pratt. She is somehow in third place, but has more mail-in votes than the current first place, Karen Bass. That's statistically impossible, damn near impossible, deeply unlikely. I mean, you could go on and on with stuff like this and say this is happening right now. They're doing it exactly the same way, because mail-in ballots will never be successfully implemented in America or anywhere else for that matter. It's not necessary. It doesn't, the problem that it claims it's solving doesn't actually exist. The whole thing is set up, and the parameters of how it works are only in place and only makes sense if there's fraud. It's completely bonkers. We'll go to some videos about this. Let's go to clip 47 here. This is Jay Clayton on CNBC. This is how obvious the voter fraud is. This is CNBC, which is like one of the most lefty outlets out there. And they can't help but admit that Trump's got a point. So it's like, again, this is the crazy part. Trump's got this position that he holds that is contrary to the mainstream media. He is correct, and he could easily smack them down with it with just like three or four little soundbite things to mention. He doesn't do that. He's made to look like a total idiot, when in reality, this is a softball underhand pitch. He could knock it out of the park. He's so correct on this that the people at CNBC are tying themselves in knots trying to claim that voter fraud doesn't exist. They can't even do that. All they can do is try to downplay it. And yet, he loses out on the exchange with a leftist over this exact topic. Let's watch CNBC. I'll pause and comment.
Idea of what's happening in California right now?
No, I actually can't, which I think is the problem. You raised this about election integrity, which I think is the point.
I'm watching it. Are any of the things we're hearing about, like thousands of votes all for the same person, is any of that true? Or is that just this sort of conspiracy to, like, 100% for the socialist candidate versus the others? Is any of that true?
Look, we had a problem. A deep problem with voting.
All right, let's pause it right there. Like, you can tell just from the jump, they're not talking about something they want to talk about or that they even know how to talk about. It's not like, what do you make of these ridiculous claims Trump is making? 1,000 documents. There's no such thing, right? And the other guy's like, absolutely not. It's another BS from the Trump administration. You know, we should be used to this by now. You don't have that energy. You don't have that smoothness. It's all, what about some of these claims? I mean, these aren't real, are they? I mean, we have like thousands of documents for the social. I mean, this is crazy, right? This is crazy. And the DA's like, well, let me talk about racism. We have a racism problem in this country. It's like, all right, done. Voter fraud is real. Like, I don't need to see any more. We have just seen more than enough for me to understand voter fraud is absolutely real. Jay Clayton, the district attorney for the Southern District of New York, absolutely knows it's real. The people on CNBC absolutely know it's real. And let's watch as they try to avoid that reality. Okay, so he was just asked a very simple question. Are any of these stories real? The claims that tranches of mail-in ballots are showing up a week after election was held, that are 100% for the socialist mayor and not a single vote for anybody else? Is that real? Did that really happen? Are those claims valid? And now the district attorney starts going into a rambling and uncertain response about the problem of racism in this country. Okay, let's watch.
We had race-based discrimination around voting that was identified. We had the Voting Rights Act. It was all about access, making sure that people were not denied access.
Yeah, in the 60s.
There was a second element to it, which was election integrity, making sure that once everybody has access, that their vote actually counts, that it's not being diluted by illegal voting or shenanigans and the like. I think we've done, you know, a pretty darn good job on access. I don't hear anybody claiming that they don't have access to the ballot box.
What too much
of politicians saying that it's Jim Crow.
Let's pause it here, because that is a very funny response. That is a very funny response. The Southern District New York Attorney General, District Attorney, whatever he is like, look, there's not an issue with ballot access. It doesn't exist. We solved this problem in the 1960s. It's illegal to block people. It's illegal to, you know, force them to take a literacy. Yeah, it doesn't exist. Voter intimidation isn't legal. Like, that's not a problem. That doesn't exist. And then the other guy responds, well, politicians say it's Jim Crow 2.0, which is hilarious. So the guy's like, yeah, well, it's not, though. No, you're both right. No, you're both exactly right. There's nothing contradictory about this. The problem doesn't exist, and politicians talk about it all the time as if it does, and they pursue and promote and put forward solutions to the problem that doesn't exist because they're trying to do something else, because they're not trying to fix a problem. They're actually creating other problems by making everything sound like a racist attack. So I just thought that exchange was hysterical. This problem doesn't exist. And the news reporter's like, but politicians are always saying it does. It's like, yeah, accurate. Both of those statements are accurate. Thank you for that. Let's go back.
We have groups dedicated to making sure that people have access. Tons of money dedicated to it. You know, laws and laws that my office enforces, other offices enforce to make sure that people. On the integrity side, we're doing an absolutely terrible job. And the American people are right to question it. How come we can have an audit trail in every other aspect of our lives that's important? People cite getting on, you know, planes and the like and things. But, you know, in every...
Jay, here's the issue. California's election law...
Oh, God interrupt him. God interrupt. We didn't even know the woman was there. I didn't even know there was a woman in this conversation. Where did she come from? She just spawned in. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. The Democrat guy is saying Trump is right. You better have a woman jump in and interrupt him. Where the hell did she come from? I thought this was an interview. Did you hear her mic wasn't even up? They had to crank her mic up when she started talking. So, yeah, let's go back to it. So, you know, he's like, hey, look, we solved voter access. No problem. The other guy interrupts. Well, but don't politicians? He's like, yeah, yes, they do lie about that. They do say it's Jim Crow 2.0. It's a complete lie. It doesn't exist. Don't be a retard. Is the underlying sentiment I think he was trying to express. And then he's like, but, you know, the other side of that is voter integrity, and we have no voter integrity. People are right to be concerned about this. We have no ability to have a chain of custody. And oh, the woman interrupts. Well, hold on here a minute. Let's see what she has to say.
By election day to be counted and permit same day registration. That means tabulation typically continues for weeks after the vote.
I think you go 30 days, isn't it? Right.
But why is that law there? I get you.
That doesn't sound like fraud. That you can argue whether the law makes sense, but that doesn't sound like a fraudulent situation.
No, there's a great phrase: opportunity for fraud. Right. One of the things you do in designing laws is reduce the opportunity for fraud without, in this case, reduce the opportunity for fraud while not adversely
impacting
access.
And every time it happens, Jay, it's like, okay, all these are coming in for the next 30 days. Oh, Democrats vote that way, so it just makes sense that it's 100% Democrat. That's where the opportunity comes from. So,
right.
Yeah, you can have it. Why does it always go that way with the mail-in votes? Why is it always 100% Democrats are voting in the mail-in?
Or why can't you count them like they do in other jurisdictions, on the same day as Election Day, or within a very reasonable
time. Well, if you mail them in on Election Day, they're not going to be there on Election Day.
Well,
I mean, I got stuff returned to me that I sent out for Christmas by like 2 months later.
Call me crazy. It seems like maybe the U.S. Postal Service isn't the way we should be voting. You ever think about that? This is just like where we are. This is just like where we're at. There's something that should never exist. Mail-in voting, it never should exist. It never did exist until they locked down the entire country, forced us to all stay inside so they could get mail-in voting. Without the lockdown, mail-in voting would not exist at this moment. It was never a thing. A few states did it, I guess. It's fine, but the whole nationwide... And the mail-in voting provisions had no guarantees for safety. Nothing of what he's talking about. Of course, he was interrupted again. What he was trying to say was, we were trying to do is solve the legitimacy problem without lowering access. You couldn't finish that thought, but it's certainly possible to do that. But again, they put us on lockdown from the disease that they released and then didn't tell us about. They wanted us on lockdown for a couple reasons, to crash the economy, to create the food shortages, to force the vaccine. But I think most importantly, to get the mail-in ballots. That's the only reason they exist, genuinely. So it shouldn't exist in the first place. It was put into place temporarily, ostensibly temporarily, and on emergency provision. So there was no extra work or thought put into it. This wasn't passed by the legislature, which is the legal way that you change the voting system. The legislature is supposed to do it. So the Secretary of State just assumed that power to themselves. Totally illegal. They have no precedent, no justification for doing this, except for the emergency that they themselves declared about the disease that they themselves released. But they do it. They force it through. They make it, you know, with absolutely no guarantees of safety or ability to guarantee the vote is who they say it is. And then it's just that's the way it is forever. And now we're having to try to come up with ways to solve problems with the system that we set up that we never needed in the first place, was illegitimate in the first place, and should have expired the first year that it was used. But it just remains, and it just is the way that we vote now, and all of the problems that everybody notices are incumbent on this system just go unaddressed, ignored, or impotently complained about, and our elections keep getting stolen. This is crazy. Let's finish the clip here.
Election day for mail-in ballots, I don't
really. But those are questions with the law, and it doesn't suggest that there's necessarily fraud here. You can have cause for an investigation, but with the governor's office.
The vote totals that come in suggest.
Becky, I completely agree with you. Yeah. It's what it does.
I'm not saying there's not fraud. I'm just saying there's not necessarily fraud there. And that's
what it is it makes the opportunity for fraud so much greater when that is not necessary. It is not.
Yeah, I mean, it's just. It's unnecessary. It's obviously fraudulent. And I'll say again, there is no way to guarantee. There is no way. There's no way. You can't even go in afterwards and audit it. Because yes, you're going to have the mailed in ballot. But unless you go through and contact every single person and get them to tell you who they voted for and cross check it with the mail. No, it's impossible. It can never happen. This should not be allowed. I honestly wouldn't even blame Trump if he just said, I'm rejecting the results of this election and I'm installing a governor of California. I think he should do that, actually.
We have to get more people hired. We have to finish the new big studios. We have to have our legal defense and offense. And we have to move forward. So now is the time. Have we not delivered to you in the fight against tyranny? Have you not delivered supporting us as Symbiotic? A win-win situation. Like he says in Gladiator, after he chops up, you know, the four guys, just a few seconds. He says, are you not entertained? Are you not entertained? And I say, are you not empowered? Are the tyrants not scared? Are they not coming after me and my crew? You want somebody to fight? You want somebody to stand up for you? Well, then you got to back them. And those that have backed us, I salute you from the bottom of my heart. And those that have shared the articles and videos, that's great. But it's different classes of people. It's people that tune in and get the knowledge, but are scared or lazy or whatever. Then there's people that at least share the articles and videos and Paul Revere it. We appreciate you. Okay? So you got like copper, you know, on the bottom. At least you listen, but I hope people learn from this through osmosis or something. Then you got the silver folks that at least share the articles and videos to wake up other people. And then you got the gold standard, the people that do it all, and the people that get great products that are smart enough to say, wow, this guy really knows what he's talking about. I believe him. He'd only sell me something that works, and then they try it, and we have a 90%+ reorder rate with supplements because I wouldn't sell you something that doesn't work. I'm not stupid. That's why I don't serve evil. I know the second, third, fourth order events of it will destroy me. Plus, I don't like it. I don't enjoy it. I feel good being truthful. I feel good being honest. I feel good stomping tyrants politically into the ground nonviolently, slashing their throats nonviolently, stabbing ice picks in their heads nonviolently, cutting their heads off nonviolently, ripping their entrails out politically nonviolently. I like just breaking their bones and grinding them down to make my bread. Fee-fi-fo-fum. I smell the blood of satanic globalist scum. Be they alive or be they dead, I'll grind their bones to make my bread. You want somebody to fight for you? Well, you better believe you got it. The real McCoy, the spirit of resistance and victory, and they know it, and it's why they fear it. And if you will simply join me and ask God for this spirit to lead, guide, and direct us, the spirit that overcomes, God doesn't give us over a spirit of weakness and fear, but one is a roaring lion that conquers, that destroys tyrants, that overcometh. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against it. And we are the crucible. We are the shield of the people. We are the standard. We have the spirit. We have the will. But we have to have no fear and commit to this fight. Give me your word of mouth. Give me your prayers to God for our providence and support, because if God be with us, who can stand against us? And financially support us now at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a VIP. Cancel any time. It's no commitment. You just get all the best deals. $30 a month spend, instantly $40 to buy whatever you want. You make 10 bucks right there. Special offers, sales on top of sales for everybody, and special offers at thealexjonesstore.com. Commit. Be a VIP. You can also donate on the site at the donate button. Just take action now. But those of you that have supported us, you know who you are, and I thank you from the bottom of my soul.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today. Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
So we got two options, folks. And honestly, I hope, I pray, I mean, for me to maintain any form of optimism, I have to believe that our elections are stolen. Otherwise, we got a way bigger problem on our hands, okay? I hope our elections are stolen, because that would explain how some of these people get into office in the first place. Otherwise, I got to believe, I have to actually sit here and contend with a reality where the people of Seattle chose an unemployed moron to be their mayor and are fine with that, and are seeing what she's doing and are just think it's fine. And I refuse to live in a reality where people actually support this person. I pray to God that it was stolen. I pray to God it was all stolen, because then it would explain. Then we'd be like, okay, all right, good. That's how the absolute moron gets elected as mayor of Seattle. This woman, people, you know, say what you want about Trump. He's a little brash, whatever. I have never seen idiocracy come to life like this woman. It is beyond parody. I'm about to show you a video of her answering questions, and it's I hope the election was stolen. I really do. I really hope people didn't vote for this woman. because that would really depress me and make me give up on humanity, because she doesn't know what the hell is going on. I mean, I don't know what's going on with her. Let's go to clip 11 here. I don't even have words for this. This is Seattle Mayor Katie Wilson. She bombed an interview with Fox 13's Hannah Kim at a recent civics event. Again, it's one thing. I'm trying to think, like, you know, Kamala Harris might be a good example of somebody that, like, she's obviously dumb as bricks. She obviously is unqualified for any position, let alone the ones that she's in. But she knows how to handle questions. Like, she knows how to sort of duck and weave politically, to where even if you're like, ah, this person is such a slime ball, they're so dishonest and underhanded, like, it, you know, it's off-putting, it's disgusting. But at least it's like, ah, but I see how she got to where she is. But dang, she's a slick one. But man, she really has got a way to wriggle out of that one. That was impressive. Like, she'll, you know, Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, they could still sort of pull that stuff off. AOC is another one. Well, she's not quite as good because she kind of embraced her stupidity and nobody cared. So, you know, I always point to the interview very early on when she was actually asked about Israel and Palestine. And she literally is like, you know, I haven't thought about that. I'm going to have to ask my team about that. Okay, you should probably have answers for these things. It's not a great look as a congressman to admit, like, let me ask my handlers how I should answer that one and get back to you. Let me upgrade my teleprompter and then I will have an opinion on that. Oh, okay. So you're like a puppet person. Cool. Very cool. But at least, like, you know, she also has some sort of rhetorical skill that she can handle things. This woman, it's like, if you're going to be an idiot, if you're going to be a tyrant and a, you know, progressive psychopath, you got to at least be a little bit clever. You got to at least be able to dress it up a little bit. I think you'll see what I mean. I think you'll understand exactly what I'm saying. Seattle Mayor Katie Wilson, who until she was mayor, and I guess still now, I don't know, where's the mayor live? I assume she still lives with her parents. She lived with her parents. She's never had a job. She's as dumb as a box of rocks. Let's watch.
City Club and Fox 13 held a forum with Seattle Mayor Katie Wilson last night. She garnered national scrutiny recently for her comments toward the business community, including when she called for a boycott of Starbucks. Here is one exchange from last night.
Let's start with Starbucks. Do you still support a boycott of Starbucks?
You know, I had the pleasure of visiting the Pike Place Market Starbucks a little while ago, and I ordered a blueberry muffin latte. That was like a staff creation. So I guess I broke my boycott.
Okay.
I don't know. What do you want me to say about that?
Let's pause it. Let's pause it right there. Okay, so if I asked 100 people to name a company from Seattle, I bet 99.9 of them would name Starbucks. It's like very closely related to Seattle. It's where they got their start. It's like very tied in. That brand is tied into the city. And it's like, okay, I can think of 10 different ways to answer this differently, right? You could go, oh, yeah, you know, that was about one. That was about something in particular. You know, we really made some good. That was an important boycott. I think boycotting is an important tool in the toolkit for citizens, you know, to oppose things they disagree with. And I think citizens should always have the right to boycott. I, however, do enjoy Starbucks and I don't hate the brand. I just, you know, but I would never say it. You know, like, there are just ways to respond. But she's just like, well, I got a Starbucks the other day. So I don't know. You're the mayor. You're the mayor of a major American city. She's just like, why? What do you want me to say? It's like, I don't know. Answer the question. Like, what? It's crazy. It's genuinely crazy. They voted for her. It's nuts. Yeah, I'd say even Microsoft is more related than Amazon. The crew was saying Amazon's, you know, associated with Seattle. But, like, I don't know. Amazon's more of a, you know, it's not human enough to be associated with a place. It just sort of exists wherever, you know, robots live. You know, it doesn't really have a temporal home. Its home is the pits of hell, and it has temporal manifestations of its ethereal evil. Amazon doesn't really come from a certain place. It just arises from the depths. But Starbucks, it's like it's the coffee. It's like got a whole vibe. It's got a Seattle vibe going with it. So again, it's just, she's just like, what do you want me to say? Okay. This is, by the way, friendly interview, friendly discussion with a friendly show asking softball questions. She can't answer them. Let's go back.
When I asked about Spencer Pratt, the L.A. mayoral candidate recently called the mayor out. He said people in L.A. living on the streets doing drugs will come to Seattle when he cuts them off. Pratt saying Wilson will welcome them into Seattle. Take a listen to what Mayor Wilson had to say.
I'm not going to respond to him, but I will respond to you all.
Let's pause right there. Because that is a weird lefty thing. That it's like, Spencer Pratt is unworthy of being addressed. I will not respond to him. Like, as if what he's saying is so crazy. It's like, I won't even dignify it with an answer. It's like, but what are you going to do when he sends all the homeless people here? But what are you going to do if he becomes mayor of the city? But it doesn't matter. It could literally, you know, it could be, he could be a Nobel Prize winner. They would still treat him with this level of disdain because it's an easy go-to shortcut. When you don't actually have an answer for anything, you can just pretend to be above it. It's the same reason people say conspiracy theorists or call you crazy. It's like, then you don't have to actually contend with the question being asked. So she's above it all. And again, I just love this leftist strategy. And you see it everywhere, right? But it's like, Spencer Pratt said he's going to do this if he becomes mayor. How will you respond to that? And she can't just answer like a normal human being. First, she has to signal to everybody out there that she hates Spencer Pratt and refuses to see him as a human being. And, you know, I'll talk to you. I'll answer you, but I'm not going to respond to him. He is not worthy of my response. It's like, bitch, you're not worthy to flush his toilet. So what are you talking about? Okay. So let's see what answer she has to say, because this is kind of a tricky one for her. It's kind of tricky. I don't know which way she goes with this, because she either has to say, yes, we will welcome all the homeless people, which I don't think the people in Seattle would be all that happy with. Or she's going to say, no, we don't want more homeless people, which is kind of at odds with her entire political ideology. So let's see how she handles this one.
Very clear when we look at the data, when we look at different cities around the country and kind of compare the scale of our homelessness issues. What is driving homelessness is housing costs. There is a very, very clear correlation between housing costs and homelessness.
Is Seattle too lenient on giving people who are—
So she didn't answer the question. Long story short. Okay. It's just like, I don't know, man. Do people, like, are people watching this like, a good point? Housing, you know, if somebody can't afford a home, I have the feeling that's because they can't afford a home. If they're living in somewhere that's not a home, that might be because they can't afford to live in a home. Okay. Great. But again, do people watch this and they go, see, she's got her finger on the pulse. She understands the issues. Is that what's happening? Because I prefer to believe that our elections are stolen. I have to believe that she is where she is today as a result of some giant prank than the people of Seattle actually being this retarded. I can't do it. I can't believe that about the city of Seattle. Please, Seattle. Please move it wrong. Yeah, this is them. All right, never mind. You know, the funny thing is that there was just a very big story and a big leftist paper called Bloomberg. Dallas housing market cools as H-1B visa Indian buyers vanish, talking about how immigration is directly responsible for the majority of the rise in house prices, and that by simply deporting or even just not bringing in infinite foreigners, housing prices drop precipitously. So I wonder if she'd be okay with, you know, legal immigrants or legal immigrants being kept out to serve those experiencing homelessness? The answer is no, she will not do that. Okay, back to, we really need a nickname for this lady. Oh, we'll think of one. We'll figure one out. To the big dumb idiot. Let's watch.
Drugs, housing first, with no requirement of drug treatment and rehabilitation. Why is that not something that is combined together?
So I'll say that, you know, people come into homelessness from all kinds of different directions. And people who are struggling with substance use disorder, drug addiction, right? Like, everyone has their individual situation, and what works for one person doesn't always work for another. And that is part of why it's really important that we have a variety of shelter options and that we have a variety of, you know, service models.
After my question and answer session with the mayor, community members were able to ask Wilson direct questions, and many of them focused on public safety. Fox 13's Alejandro Guzman shares some of their biggest concerns.
Public safety dominated the conversation, starting with Mayor Wilson's newly proposed sales tax to fund more bus services.
I am all for taxes when the system is working. But I'm not sure if I'm going to get home safely tonight.
Others shared stories of shootings, stabbings, and employees carrying whistles for their safety as businesses are paying for private security, claiming police never show up.
Because if, you know, spend 10% of your revenue on private security, that's like an extra sales tax.
Do you know that almost 25 employees have had to use that whistle? They're not safe in downtown Seattle.
Some said they feel the candidate they campaigned for has turned their back on them.
You're talking about gun violence, and it's not at the top. We helped you campaign, and you forgot all about us.
Homelessness was another major topic.
When will the power washing stop?
Wilson said a new approach is coming to 12th and Jackson very soon.
Right now, we don't have a lot of options for people, which is part of why it feels like we're just moving people around, because in a sense, we are.
But this wasn't just a campaign talking point. It's a promise she's vowed to keep.
We can't just keep moving people from place to place and calling that progress.
Affordability and the future of Seattle's business community also took center stage. While some question how they can afford to stay in their homes, business owners are worried about downtown vacancies and whether companies will continue to invest in Seattle.
When are you going to come with concrete responses to the issues that will solve the problem?
that's the best question. Hold on, we got to pause it. When are you going to answer our questions? When are you going to say anything substantive about anything we ask you? When are you going to provide a single solution to any of the innumerable problems that we are experiencing and that you are aggravating and making worse in every possible way? And she's just like, well, you know, we are moving people around, but we got to stop moving people around. But we are going to keep moving them around. So, did you vote for this woman? Did anybody vote for this? Why? Why did you vote for this woman? She has been mayor for like 3 months, right? I mean, she hasn't been mayor that long. And funny, the same thing's happening with Mamdani, right? It's like, you freaking idiots. What did you think she was going to do? She's doing everything she ran on. She hates corporations. She's going to raise your taxes. She's going to give all the money to criminals and drug addicts. She's going to plant them in your neighborhood. And by the way, she's only going to fix things temporarily during the World Cup so that nobody knows how bad it is. And then it's going to get even worse as soon as everybody goes home. She's following the Gavin Newsom, we have guest visiting model. Why did you vote for this? What did you think she was going to do? These people are like, we voted you for you, we campaigned for you, and now you've turned your back on us. What did you think she was doing? What did you think she was going to do? She said she would do all of this. You're getting exactly what you voted for. Why do you keep voting for it? For the love of God, people. Let's finish the clip here.
Obviously, because you brought that sound to us, and there were some tough questions that Mayor Wilson had to field. I will give her credit for coming to the event. She tried to answer as many questions as possible. Was willing to stay late.
Let's pause it right there, too. Again, this is the friendly media. This is the left-wing media And they're basically like, I'm just proud of her for showing up and doing her best. Really? Because she's the mayor of a major American city. I think we should expect a little bit more than existence. I think mere presence, you know, receiving questions, but being incapable of answering any of them is not exactly the victory that you would expect. Like, again, who does this? Who behaves this way? Even if you were on her side, like, this is your city. This is your life. It's like the tough questions to answer were people being like, I don't want to pay more taxes. I don't know if I'm going to make it home safe tonight. We've had 25 employees who have had to make use of their rape whistles walking home. I don't know how many employees that woman has. 25 is a lot for any company. Most companies have about one or two employees. I'm going to guess that, you know, that's like 75% of her entire workforce has had at one point or another to use a loud noise to try to avoid being the victim of a crime in Seattle. These are not difficult questions to handle. They're only difficult to handle if the things that are happening are your fault and your priorities and your ideology has no ability to contend with these things. So she's now getting praised. She is now, the mayor of Seattle is now being praised by the Fox News anchor for showing up and totally bombing every question, having no good answers. It doesn't matter because at least she was there. At least she showed up. What are you talking about? Why would you run cover for somebody like this? This is your city. These are the streets where your children will be raised. These are your homes being made less safe. Your streets being destroyed. Why would you give cover to the person doing it when you know they're doing it? What? Let's finish up. This is just crazy. Let's keep watching.
May have not been the kind of the concrete answers that many people were looking for.
Definitely not. As you heard, it left many people wanting more direct answers, specifically to some of the key topics, 12th and Jackson, stabbing shootings there, and the power washing that people said. Mayor Wilson alluded to a plan that is coming sometime very soon, and that's pretty much all she said. We talk about KCRHA and the management of everything that she's doing to curb the crisis, she says that, are we dismantling it, specifically when you asked her? And she said, stay tuned.
Yeah, KCRHA, the King County Regional Homelessness Authority that's tasked with, you know, clearing up homelessness in our region, she said she's going to have maybe a yes or no answer on that very soon. And lastly, there was something else. Aurora Avenue came up a couple of times
because they're
dealing with a lot of crime there. What did she say? Because she did allude that some things are coming down the pipeline there.
Yeah, so specifically she said we're taking immediate actions right now. She said that there's emphasis patrols in this area, that she's doing a lot of work, specifically working with SDOT to try and get a quick study done. But a lot of people were wondering, when is this quick study? When are you getting those results?
What are you studying? Okay, wait, we can take it down. It's the same thing over and over. I mean, literally. Again, I don't know. I don't know how people watch that and don't, like, move out of Seattle. Like, what are you talking about? Because they're doing their best. They're trying to spin it. They're trying to act like, hey, you know, she's doing her best with a tough situation. She can't answer a single question. And the only response she has is to vaguely allude to future plans that do not exist. Future projects that will definitely fix everything. We just got to get this study done first. Well, tell you what, dumbass. You legalized hard drugs. You legalized prostitution. The pimps and drug dealers showed up in the neighborhood immediately after, and everything got less safe. What is your study going to show you exactly? The obvious and observable fact? The consequence follows the cause? Like, what? This is your city under leftism. They will literally pass a law that's just like, pimps get to shoot up your neighborhood. And then when you're like, we don't like pimps shooting up our neighborhood, they go, don't worry, we'll spend the next couple months doing a study to figure out why pimps are shooting up your neighborhood, and we'll get back to you. In the meantime, it's illegal to put up barriers. In the meantime, we will be sending city crews to go knock down the safety barricades that you established yourself because you have to, because there's nothing as ubiquitous in a leftist system as regular citizens having to spend their own blood, sweat, and tears to make up for what their government has taxed them to death to achieve. Let's go to this video. This is clip 38. We'll watch the first minute or so of this, because this is what's happening on the street of Seattle as the mayor is being congratulated and you know, thanked for merely showing up and being incapable of answering a single question about anything her government is doing or anything positive happening for the city or even whether she likes Starbucks or not. She has no idea. She can't answer. She's an idiot. Who's incompetent and you voted for her, you absolute morons. Here's what you get.
Today, the Aurora community is fighting back against the pimp wars and open-air sex trafficking, demanding the city of Seattle finally take action.
They're holding a sign, stop sex trafficking, no more shooting.
I'm pretty mad right now, so I'm just going to get through this. So they say Aurora has always been like this. Not like this. Should have known living this close to Aurora. Not like this. They say it's the oldest profession in the world. Just legalize it and it'll go away. Not like this. They say to the police to leave the girls alone. Otherwise, you're going to further traumatize them. I'm not leaving them like this. Before, we didn't have pimps following us home and pointing guns at our houses.
Yeah, we're going to have to do a study to, like, find out what's happening here. We're going to try to expedite that study to see if we can't figure out what drugs we need to be supplying. You know, if there was maybe a safe brothel that these women could be using, maybe that would solve this problem. Maybe we can pass more gun control. That might be a solution. They cause the problem, and then they act like retards when it comes time to solve it. Seattle neighborhood declares war against pimps shooting up Aurora Avenue while engaging in turf wars over prostitutes. Residents say they've been constantly dodging bullets since the city decriminalized prostitution in 2020, resulting in open-air sex trafficking and an increase in gun violence. If the city refuses to address the years-long issue, some residents want President Trump to intervene and order a federal crackdown. Ah, yes. And the two sides work in perfect harmony and perfect symbiosis to cause the problems that necessitate federal intervention and a destruction of our rights. Everything's going to plan, folks. Thanks for being here with us. We'll see you again soon.
Tonight at midnight, Alex Jones was thrown out and locked out of his InfoWars studio along with his crew after the 8-year-long legal battle trying to shut him down and censor him is coming to a close. And liberal media are celebrating with headlines like this. The lights go out at Alex Jones InfoWars, and InfoWars.com, the domain name, now has a message that just says off air. But these people don't know anything about Alex Jones, because if you just go to AlexJonesLive.com, the website looks very similar to the old InfoWars website. And look at there! There is a live feed of his show, the Alex Jones Show, now just not using the InfoWars name. Where he is continuing and hasn't missed a beat. If you go to the Apple App Store and the Android App Store and search for AJN Live, you can download the new Alex Jones Live app, where you can still listen to his show streamed live on your phone. Or you can just find and follow Alex Jones on Twitter X, where he still has 4.5 million followers, because despite the lawyers' attempts to try to take his personal account, they failed. And you can see there the live icon around his profile photo shows that he is live streaming the show there on repeat 24/7.
There is a war raging for the future of humanity. We have opened a new front at AlexJonesLive.com. They thought they could silence us. They thought they could drive us off the air. They failed. We are back. Stronger, louder, unbroken. Find the feeds. Hear the broadcast. Share the signal. AlexJonesLive.com. The coordinates of freedom.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.